French.
Hey, I'm Rob McDonald.
And this is the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast.
We're going to talk about everything from fishing and hunting to hiking, paddling, and adventures on the Great Plains. And we'll cover it all here.
So join us each episode and hear what's going on in the great outdoors on the Great Plains. Welcome to the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast. We are counting down the days here in Kansas for turkey season. I know I am really ready to hear some gobblers out there. I know we've got a lot of strategy on the ground right now to get a lot of kids out, so it's just making me that much more excited. Rob, what's your turkey season looking like this year?
Yeah, hey, Brittany. I am stoked about turkey season too. In fact, I've been out just in the past few days scouting some birds. And I've heard a few gobbles. In fact, just this morning, we've got a few 4-H chores that my kids do before school. And my youngest is, he's 9. Yeah, that's right. He'll be double digits this summer. And he came running into the house all excited after feeding his goats this morning and was like, I heard a turkey gobble. So they're pumped. And
love it.
Yeah, it's definitely time to get the permethrin out and spray down those clothes and boots. I have found a tick or two already. But yeah, I'm excited to go try and find some birds.
Absolutely. I know we are busy, busy, busy with Outdoor Mentors scheduling and planning a lot of turkey hunts. I think we are close to 100 turkey hunts here in Kansas alone, about another 40-some there in Iowa. So any kids out there looking to turkey hunt this season that may not have access or a mentor, please check out our website. That's a great spot for you to go and get started turkey hunting. I know it's a pretty big feat for our program coordinators to tackle that many hunts. So very proud of them. I want to give them a little shout out because they're doing a really great job doing that. One of the opportunities that Outdoor Mentors is partnering on this spring is the Kansas One-Shot Turkey Hunt, and it's coming up very soon in El Dorado, Kansas. This event is shaping up to be a great time, and our guest today has put in plenty of sweat equity to try to help get the program up and going. Thanks, Jared, for joining us. I know Rob and I are very excited to learn more about the Kansas One-Shot Turkey Hunt and also just share with our listeners what it's all about and how they can get involved.
And it's nice seeing y'all, and thanks for having me on your podcast today.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. So let's give you a little introduction because you do such a good job and you're involved in so many great things. So Jared Nichols here, he's the Director of Mobility Technology at Vista Outdoors. And Jared is the Vice Chair Board of Directors for the Kansas One-Shot Turkey Hunt. He's been hunting most of his life. He started hunting pheasants and quail in Southwest Kansas in grade school with his dad and brother, a little Garden City shout out there. While attending the University of Kansas, he was introduced to turkey hunting and was hooked ever since. Jared is married to his wife, Trisha, of 25 years, and they have two daughters, Allison and Julia. Jared has worked for Vista for 7 years prior to the mobility role, building and launching smartphone apps. Jared leads production management, team revitalization, their internal product assortment, branding, packaging, and consumer interaction. Before Bushnell, Jared worked for Garmin as a product manager and in the automotive group for 5 years. Prior to that, he worked at the Sprint Corporation for 11 years, launching products such as the first 4G smartphone and intercarrier messaging. What an introduction. Jared, thank you for joining us. Let's hear a little more about you to get started.
Yeah, thank you for having me again, Rob and Brittany. It's great to be on with y'all. I am fired up for this spring season, looking to do the hunting at the Kansas One-Shot Turkey Hunt, but also go to Oklahoma and Iowa. A couple years ago, I got my Grand Slam completed, the single season Grand Slam in Mississippi, Florida, Texas, and Montana. And so now I'm just starting to work on the Midwest and get all of the turkeys in all the Midwest states, and then I'll decide whether I go east or west. But my goal is eventually shoot a turkey in all 49 states where you can shoot a turkey. So that's one of the things I'm working on over the next handful of years, and excited for this turkey season. The rain is really hit here in Kansas a lot, but starting to see some birds move in some of the suburbs here in Kansas City. So really looking forward to it.
So Jared, let's talk about the Kansas One-Shot Turkey Hunt. I know we briefly mentioned that in our introduction, but let's just dive into that. What the heck is the Kansas One-Shot Turkey Hunt?
Yeah, so there was a turkey hunt that existed in El Dorado that was founded almost 35 years ago by Governor Mike Hayden and a few folks. Last year, that organization decided that they no longer wanted to do it. They shut down, and probably a dozen or more of us decided that, hey, we were not done having fun, so we wanted to continue to do it. And so we started a new board of directors, including Mike Hayden. Steve Seymour is our chair. Becky Wolf is our treasurer and secretary. And you can go to our website, Kansas One Shot Turkey Hunt, to learn more about our organization and see all the board of directors that are involved. But I'll walk you through a little bit about us. There's four pillars to our mission. The first pillar is encourage and get the youth excited about turkey hunting and getting them outdoors. And so we partnered with the Outdoor Mentors team to select five youth hunters to come and hunt with us this year. It's an all expenses paid trip for them. We're putting them up and board food. We'll get them. They're getting camo. They're getting a lifetime license. So it's going to be an awesome event for these youngsters to come out and hunt with us. The second pillar to the Kansas One Shot Turkey Hunt is honoring our American heroes. And our American heroes are not only your active military or your veterans, but also your first responders, whether those are firefighters or police or ambulance workers or whomever. We want to honor American heroes. And so we've got the police chief from Augusta coming in. We've got a former special ops person that's going to be hunting with us. And really excited about that opportunity as well. And then our third pillar is near and dear to my heart is investigate and research why the wild turkey is declining in the state of Kansas. So some of our proceeds are going to go back into researching, hopefully here in our backyard in El Dorado, Kansas, and find out why our wild turkey are declining. Steve and I hunted an awesome place the last 5 years. It was our honey hole, and we would go hunt other areas, but if we wanted to go and get a long beard, we knew where we needed to go. Last year, we went out to that same spot, one hen in all of the place, and the year before, there was eight Jakes and three Toms and a slew of hens, so not sure what's happened to that little honey hole that we had. So that's near and dear to my heart of doing wild turkey research. And then fourth, we want to be an instrument for the state of Kansas for economic development. So we partnered with the Kansas Department of Commerce and the Kansas Department of Tourism to bring folks from all over the country and all over the world to come out and hunt with us and see what the best kept secret in the United States is. And that's hunting in the state of Kansas. So those are our four pillars for the Kansas One Shot Turkey Hunt. It is an invitation only turkey hunt. So we've got 50 hunters coming in this year from all over the United States, like I said, that's going to come and hunt with us. It's a 2-day hunt. So we'll hunt Friday and Saturday, which is April 14th and 15th there in El Dorado, Kansas. And we've got guides from all over the region that are coming in and that have ground for us to hunt. And each night there's a dinner and a fellowship for all of our hunters and guides and landowners to come in and spend time together. And that's one of the most awesome things about this event is just the camaraderie and the fellowship and the friendships that I've developed over the last 5-6 years that I've been involved in this hunt. And although this is our first year, it's a lot of the same people that have been doing it for the 35 years. And so really excited about this year. A lot of great people coming, a lot of great food, some awesome times that we're going to have this year.
Yeah, I know there is a lot of buzz around this event, just not in my circle, but I think across like a lot of social media platforms, anyone I talk to, you know, the One Shot Turkey Hunt does come up. So I think that's great. I do want to applaud you all for incorporating youth hunters in your guys' mission. I think that is so important. I know obviously that's near and dear to my heart, but to give you guys a small glimpse of how many kids were interested in this opportunity, we collected kind of a questionnaire application, and we had over 80 kids submit applications to participate in this event. So it just shows you how many kids are so excited to get out there and turkey hunt.
Yeah, if kids aren't involved in our hunting tradition and heritage going forward, the pressure on some of these states to continue and provide places to hunt and places to people to go out and enjoy the outdoors, it's scary. And so that's one of the things that we wanted to embrace and continue to move forward. The previous hunt did a fantastic job of doing that as well, and we wanted to bring that forward. But this year, I'm excited about partnering with Pass It On Outdoor Mentors to provide these youth. We also have a young lady, Gracie Herman, that was part of the Grand National Calling Competition at the NWTF. She was pulled out of the hat. You know, her name was pulled out of the hat for her to come and hunt with us. So she's attending as well. Young lady from Nebraska, and really great caller. And so we're excited to have her come and spend some time with the other youth and teach them how to call and how to call turkeys. And hopefully those are skills that those youngsters are going to be able to have throughout the rest of their life and then be able to pass that down to the other generations.
Yeah. So shout out to Gracie Herman. She was on our podcast last spring, and I'll definitely link that episode down in the show notes. So if anybody wants to go listen to that podcast, and kind of on the heels of her competition out at Nashville last year, she's been competing. I know this spring up in Iowa and maybe one or two other competitions. So I really appreciate, Jared, you sharing about the pillars of the one shot. But one of the things you mentioned was that you are giving back some of the proceeds. And we actually had Dr. Michael Chamberlain on a podcast here recently, and he talked specifically about how important those funds are towards research, whether that's through state agencies or events like this one that give back to help fund that research to figure out, yeah, well, just exactly what is going on with these turkeys. But I'm curious, what is, obviously, if you're donating proceeds back, then somehow you're collecting proceeds. So what does that look like? Who are the partners? Other than, hey, it's a bunch of folks that like to get together and trying to hunt turkeys, and we're doing it this weekend. What makes this one shot kind of special that way?
Yeah, so we've got founding partners such as Governor Mike Caden, Gus Bader for TriStar Arms, Joe Bassone from Good Sense Deli, and he's also an entrepreneur and has a lot of other businesses that he manages. Warren Resner, who is a local dentist in the Wichita area. Jason Vanderbrink with Federal Ammunition. Brian Lewis, who's out of Nashville. And then Matt Raymond in North Carolina. Those are our seven founding members. They put up the proceeds for us to start the organization and get the organization going. But we've also got some other tremendous partners that have donated proceeds or product or what have you. So Turkeys for Tomorrow, we're going to partner with them on doing some of this research. True Timber Camo is providing camo and stuff for our hunters. Our hunters are also, most of our hunters have an entry fee into the events. And some of that money will be set aside so that we can host the program again next year. But some of those proceeds from that will also go to the research. TriStar Arms is donating shotguns and stuff for some of our silent and live auctions. Kansas Department of Commerce has stepped up in a big way. The Kansas Department of Tourism, Federal Premium Ammunition has provided ammunition for the hunt. Bushnell, I talked about Good Sense Deli Subs, and Preston Pittman. Preston Pittman is a five-time calling champion at the National Wild Turkey Federation Grand National Calling Championships. He has produced 20 box calls for us to auction off, and that usually is a big hit. He signs them. They're all numbered 1 to 20, so that's an awesome opportunity.
That's some big stuff right there. Anybody that's been in the turkey calling world very long knows that name of Preston Pittman, so kudos to him for that.
And then Primos, and then Confluence Group, which is a marketing organization, and Tack Robinson and his group has done a fantastic job of helping us get the word out. they've lined up Macy Watkins to come out and hunt with us, and she's a big time media and social media influencer, over a million followers on TikTok, 100 and some thousand on Instagram, even more on Facebook. So she's coming out, and thanks to the Confluence Group, National Wild Turkey Federation, Matt Stewart from the Turkey Call magazine, he's going to come out and hunt with us. OnX is providing elite membership benefits to all of our hunters and guides. And then Ruger, and then Frog Togs is providing gift cards to our hunters and guides. So a lot of awesome opportunities. And some of our community partners, like Jim Clements, he's a local artist. He painted an awesome painting of a couple of gobblers in one of his roads by his house. That's going to be on auction for our event at the banquet on Saturday night. And then El Dorado Inc. and Butler County and the El Dorado Chamber of Commerce and Gravity Works Architecture and Park Motor Dealerships. A lot of local partnerships, and we couldn't exist without a lot of these local partners and these community partners. So a lot of great partners. I'm excited about all of the partners that are supporting us. Just going to be a fantastic event. We can't wait.
If those brands and that kind of swag and lineup doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. That's incredible. Y'all have done a good job at connecting with folks to contribute, whether it's product or sponsorship. That's awesome. I know that just hearing you talk about this, and I'm thinking in my head, 50 hunters, that's a lot. So yes. how do y'all go about organizing land access, you know, finding people who are, you know, capable callers, if those hunters aren't experienced enough? What does that look like?
Yeah, so over the years, we've developed a great network of guides. And so the guides, it's all by referral basis. And so a lot of our guides reached out to each other and said, hey, they're going to have this hunt again this year. You want a guide? And we had a lot of folks come back. There were some guides that were like, would love to participate, but my landowners and I have decided that we're not going to hunt on our property this year because just not very many turkey numbers, and we don't want to do anything to reduce those numbers. And I respect that. And yeah, that takes a lot of discipline to do that, and really, really appreciate those that decided, you know what, it's not the year for me. And so with that being said, the guides are responsible for going and getting the land access and getting access to the land and providing that land. And our guides need to have those tough conversations with their landowners to make sure that there is a population that can sustain after we take one or two gobblers off of their farms or ranches or property. So that's really what we've done. And we've used, you know, outdoor mentors to reach out to guides and bring them in. And we on our website, again, I'll reference it, KansasOneShotTurkeyHunts.org. We've got a sign-up page there. If you want to volunteer for the event or you want to be a guide, go out there, fill out the information, and that goes directly to our email account, and we'll get back in touch with you. But yeah, this hunt is not possible without the landowners and the guides. And so if any of them are listening, I want to thank them for their participation, their support, and their graciousness to allow our hunters to go on their property and hunt.
Yeah, that's just great that there are so many folks willing to step up and do that because they see the greater good, right? It's not just a matter of making money and doing this, that, and the other, right? It's there's a bigger picture there. And part of that, you mentioned talking about the pillars, is, you know, wild turkey research. That's important. And I love hearing that, you know, some of those guides did have the courage to come forth and say, hey, we just can't do it this year. You know, here's why. So who are you all partnering with to maybe conduct that research or maybe start talking about that research in the future? What does that look like for y'all?
Yeah, so those conversations we've started a few weeks ago, maybe even a couple months ago. We've reached out to Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks. We've reached out to Kansas State Extension Center here in Butler County. I shouldn't say here. I'm not here in Butler County. I'm in Kansas City at our Bushnell offices. But Because this is in the backyard of El Dorado, we want to work with Kansas State University Extension Center. We want to do a lot of research in our area because a lot of that money from local businesses and from the landowners providing us access to those locations, we want to give back and we want to be able to provide a way to figure out what is going on there. That's who we're looking at. You know, we're reaching out to some of those organizations, CFT and WTF. We're wanting to make sure that we're an advocate for the wild turkey and bring those organizations together for the one cause and make sure that we sustain the wild turkey population. You know, the NWTF has been phenomenal in restoring the wild turkey populations throughout the United States. This year, they're celebrating their 50th anniversary. And if it weren't for them, we probably wouldn't have, you know, huntable populations of turkey. And so kudos to National Wild Turkey Federation and everything that they're doing. And so excited to have a couple of their representatives at the hunt with us this year, as well as Turkeys for Tomorrow. You know, we're excited about all these organizations and we want to be able to be mediate all those organizations to come together for one great cause. So excited about this opportunity.
Yeah, I know, Jared, while we're talking about all your partners, I want to be sure and plug Backcountry Hunters and Anglers of Kansas. I'm on the board there. And, you know, one of the things that that our chapter decided to do was offer the youth hunters, all youth BHA memberships and the public landowner t-shirts, and then adding a few items to the gift bags that all the participants are going to get. So I know it takes a village, right? And so you've got a heck of a lineup putting this thing together. I'm curious, you've mentioned banquet a couple different times. What does that look like? Maybe, maybe I'm in the Wichita, El Dorado area. Heck, for that matter, even, you know, Oklahoma City, Tulsa, where you're at, Overland Park, whatever. But I'm into turkey hunting. Maybe I'm a member of Turkey Tomorrow or NWTF or whatever. I'm not part of the hunt, but I just want to be around other turkey hunters. What's the banquet look like?
So the banquet is on Saturday night, April 15th. It is open to the public. We do have a limited number of seats. So if you do want tickets, reach out to us on our website. And I'll have Brittany post that in the links as well. But yeah, reach out to us. The ticket prices, I think they're going to be around $20, $25, $30. We're making those tickets available here in the next few days. And there's 300 to 400 seats available. So it's a limited number of seats. And if you want to come, make sure you reach out to us early so that you can get those tickets. But we'll have, there'll be a meal, an awesome meal provided. We'll have an auction. Rob Keck, who was the former president of National Wild Turkey Foundation, he is our MC for the night. One of our veterans, we're hoping he can stand up and speak a little bit. And then we're hoping to have some live entertainment. So it'll be a fun, energy-packed evening and hope to see some of you all there. April 15th, and that is the Saturday there at Butler County Community College.
Coming up fast.
Yes. 3 weeks.
Yes. Well, yeah. I know, I think Rob, myself, and all of us, we're very much looking forward to attending and being there. And we'll be sure to give you all an update on how it goes too. So Jared, you mentioned this is like an exclusive invite only to be a hunter at this event. What does that look like? And how do people who are listening across the Great Plains maybe get on that list or inquire about that at some point, if that's an option?
Yeah. Again, go to our website. There's an inquiry page on our website. You know, send us a note saying, hey, we'd love to participate next year and we'll put you on our mailing list. This year we kept it to 50, so it was more manageable and it was easier to find guides and get access to property. Next year we'd like to see that grow a little bit, but still want to maintain to be able to manage it. Also don't want to put too much stress on the property and the turkeys where we're hunting. And so, We'll play that by ear. So as we go forward, you know, and we've got opportunities, we can definitely reach out to those folks. But if people want to be involved and want to help volunteer, there's still spots available to volunteer. Go to our website again. Let us know that you want to volunteer, especially if you're in the Wichita, El Dorado area. You know, it's we've got a range day on Thursday. We've got hunts on Friday and Saturday. Lunches, breakfasts, dinners, all that stuff all needs to be coordinated, and we need volunteers. So if anyone's interested, let us know. And one, I just remembered, I do want to give Wildscape an opportunity to promote them. They are the ones that are funding the lifetime licenses for the five Kansas youth hunters. And that is such an awesome gift. I remember getting my lifetime license about 20 years ago, and that was one of the greatest things that I've ever invested and paid for personally, and excited that these youth hunters will be able to get that. So thanks to Mark Murrow and his team for funding.
Yeah, and for any of our listeners that are wondering, what is a Kansas Wildscape and what does that even mean? We had Mark on a few episodes ago, so we'll link that in the show notes as well with the Gracie Herman episode, and hopefully folks can kind of get all around that and then get all pumped up and excited to come to the banquet and meet some of those folks and have a great time talking about turkey hunting, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, the other way you can support us is when you go to our website, check out all those sponsors and go and purchase product from those sponsors. That's another great way to help us, because by buying their products, they're able to donate and provide resources to the Kansas One Shot Turkey Hunt, as well as many other organizations that a lot of these companies support. So just make sure you support your local businesses as well as these great organizations that we've got listed, because they don't just donate to us, they donate to a lot of great organizations. And without companies like that, our outdoors experience would be limited.
Well, Jared, it's obvious that you're passionate about turkey hunting, and we do a lightning round here on the podcast. And so I've got 8 questions here detailed, and I think they're all having to do with turkey hunting. So let's jump
in. No pressure.
Yeah. If you feel good about it or not, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll jump in and see how it goes.
You can throw in an occasional quail pheasant question if you have to. I think he can probably hold his own on that one.
So number one, I did a little bit of Facebook sleuthing before the episode and saw that you'd done the slam, and so the turkey slam. And so I'm just curious, number one, what was your favorite subspecies of turkey to hunt?
Oh, man. They were all different. They were all unique. The Eastern was by far the most challenging, and that was in Mississippi. And that was with Philip Culpepper. And man, that was a great experience. And that ended up on his Spring Thunder episode. But I would say my favorite was the Merriams up in Montana. We were up in the pines and up in the, it was the eastern part of Montana. So we're up in some of the plateaus. And just in that country, and seeing how you had to sneak up on those turkeys a little differently than you do here in Kansas or Mississippi, that was incredible. And then just seeing their white tips of their feathers as they strutted in, just phenomenal. But they were all fun. My Osceola in Florida, probably about a half mile from where we hunted, there was a drainage ditch, and there was a 12-foot alligator sitting in that drainage ditch. So that freaked me out a little bit. I'm like, he wasn't that far from us. So hunting in the palm trees and the palmettos, it was really cool.
That's cool.
And then in Texas, we get into our blind, and my cameraman James grabbed my shirt and said, "Wait, Jared," and we could hear a rattlesnake in our blind. We flew out of that blind, and it was a little like 8-inch rattlesnake. It was baby, but that freaked me out. I was like, I don't like rattlesnakes, but that all different experiences, but Merriam would be my favorite. Merriam's.
Nice. Okay. Number two. So you're trying to get into an area. You're going to try and hunt using a locator call. What's your favorite locator call?
Man, I've always just used a mouth hen call to try to locate, but I recently bought a couple of owl, barred owl hoot calls.
Yep.
And man, I've used them a few times, and man, that gets the turkeys on the roof going. So
I
I like the wooden one. I bought a wooden one at the NWTF convention just a few weeks ago, and I love the sound of the wood. The plastic, the one that I had it was good, but that wood is fantastic.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I've heard a lot of times I'll do a coyote howl just with my mouth, you know, to get one to fire off, and the barred owl calls. I know a couple guys that use a peacock call, you know, that help call, and just something to get them, you know, to shock, but that's cool stuff.
Yeah. I've heard them react to a train whistle in the background. Oh, yeah.
Or thunder. And you're hunting and there's a thunderstorm in the distance and you can hear that thing every time that thunder claps. They just get all fired.
You know what? To me, there's not a better sound is a turkey on the roost gobbling. That is the hair on the back of my neck is standing up. Just
well, don't get ahead of my questions here, Jared.
He's like, I'm going to answer them all right now.
So number three, you live in Overland Park. So, I imagine you've stomped around Kansas. You've hunted around El Dorado, obviously. What's your favorite region? No, you don't have to be specific, county, town, anything like that, but just what's your favorite region in Kansas to hunt? Cause you know, part of what I love about Kansas, and a lot of states can say that, you know, you can be up in the Northeast along the Kansas River and old growth timber. And then if you go out to the Southwest, I mean, it's like you're on a different planet, right? And I mean, it just, so the regions of Kansas are so diverse. So what's your favorite region to hunt turkeys in Kansas?
Oh, favorite region to hunt turkeys is right there around El Dorado in the eastern part of the state. You've got those big easterns and that's my favorite part. But I went mule deer hunting with my nephew this fall. In December, and we went up to around Goodwin in that area and hunted around there. And you're right. We, you know, one minute we were standing in Colorado, the next minute we're in Nebraska, and then you've got these huge ravines and these plateaus up in Northwest Kansas. And then you go down to the sand hills in Southwest Kansas where I grew up. And the ecosystem in Kansas is so diverse. It's amazing. And within 6 hours, you can be in a totally different, you can be almost in a desert or in, you know, forests but turkey hunting in the eastern part of Kansas is ideal. But if you're telling me a quail or pheasant right in my backyard of Garden City, Kansas is there's no other place in Kansas that I'd rather hunt.
Okay. So number four, and just to kind of get the juices flowing a little bit, you could think like technical features or fit and finish or nostalgia, but what's your favorite turkey shotgun right now?
Man, I so when I went on my Grand Slam pursuit, Rite hooked me up with a 12 and a 20 gauge. They're semi-automatic. They're outfitted with rails, so I've got a Bushnell RXS 250 on it. And then I use Fredel TSS shotgun shells.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the most deadly combination that I've ever hunted with. And I've hunted with all sorts of different shotguns and shells. And man, that 20 gauge with TSS and that red dot, if a turkey's within 40 yards, it's dead.
Okay. So that leads us to number five then. Give us that load again. So number five, what's your favorite turkey shotgun load right now? So kind of detail that brand, talking tungsten, the TSS stuff.
Yeah, it's Federal 7-shot TSS. That is my favorite by far in 20 gauge.
Yeah, is that a 3-inch shell probably?
Yes, it is. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Probably comes as well if our listeners are shopping. They're at the sporting goods store or online. Has come generally in a box of like five, maybe?
Yep. They come in a box of five. And I haven't been to the store in the last few weeks to see if like Shields or Academy or any of them have it, but I would assume so. Mm-hmm. And that tungsten has gone up in price, man. They mm-hmm. were $30, $40, but now Federal's, they've got some incredible shells out there that are a little bit higher priced than that they've recently come out with. But yeah, the TSS is definitely a game changer. And you know, when I first started hunting, I saw a lot of wounded turkeys with yeah. some of that shot. This TSS, if you get in the region, they're going to die. You're not going to wound them. And I think that's a critical aspect is if they're going to get shot, let's make sure they're dead.
Yeah. You know, Brittany and I both have a personal friend. Brandon Hines was a guest of ours right when we kind of first started the podcast. And he's real good about getting youth hunters out. And his setup is a single shot 410. And he made a believer out of me. I would have never tried to shoot a turkey with a 410, but he uses those TSS loads and kind of proved it to me. And so last year when my youngest son, when it was his turn to take his first turkey, that's what we used was a single shot 410, and it one trigger pull, like I said, was a thin range, and the turkey was, you know, doing his thing, strutting, standing right in front of us, and nothing too Western about it. But man, that TSS did a job. So
yeah, Gus at TriStar Arms is talking me into taking one of his 410s out and hunting with it with one of the Bushnell red dots, and I'm definitely going to take him up on that because I want to see that firsthand. I've seen some awesome videos from like David Blanton and some of those guys that use 410s, but yeah, with TSS, if we didn't have TSS, I'd be like, yeah, I don't know.
But right, I'm with you. Yeah,
30 yards with TSS, I mean, that's
mm-hmm. yep,
great combination.
Okay, so question number six. I know we talked about Gracie Herman and little teaser. We're hoping to have her dad, Doug Herman, on, who's a world-class turkey caller. And that guy, he did a Facebook video just the other day where he gutted a Bic pen, an ink pen, you know, pulled the top and the bottom out, pulled the ink guts out, and then started using it as a wingbone call. That's just that guy.
Incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fantastic. That's yeah. awesome.
So number six, what's your favorite type of turkey call?
Mouth call.
Okay, diaphragm, mouth call.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I got a story there. So when I first started learning how to call, I was working for my dad in Southwest Kansas, and this was during the summer in college. And I bought my first diaphragm call. And I tried calling it, and I gagged. And so for three whole days, I put that thing in my mouth and tried to get used to it and learn to call with it. So after all of that work and everything, that is my favorite call because it took me a lot to get used to it.
Yeah.
But now I've talked to so many people that I start cutting down on the plastic around the diaphragm mm-hmm. so it fits in my mouth better, and I don't get that gag reflex. But if you could do a diaphragm call, there's nothing better because you're not moving your arms or anything, and you can do it with your shotgun up. And that's my favorite call. But yes, I bought a trumpet call from Preston Pittman at the NWTF convention, getting used to using it. I got a new slate call that I'm excited about using. I got a go-to box call. I do think that there is an opportunity for each one of those pieces mm-hmm. of equipment to use while you're hunting. But if I only had to have one, it would be definitely that diaphragm.
Okay. Very good. So we're getting down to the nitty gritty. Number seven. Over the years, you've been turkey hunting for a long time. I am asking you, what was your most memorable turkey hunt? Somebody says, tell me about your favorite turkey hunt. Or maybe not even favorite, just most memorable. Maybe it was miserable, but it was the most memorable.
Yeah, there's been a lot, but I'd go back to the very first turkey that I shot. It was up in northern Missouri. It's just everything came together. We set our, we got real close to the roost tree, but they flew out 50, 75 yards out into the middle field. And I'm just like, there's no way we're going to get them. And we saw them kind of meander over to this alfalfa field. And we went and set up on a barbed wire fence. And we let off a couple of, you know, cackles. And there was a hen about 150 yards to our left. And she started squawking. And we didn't have to do anything. Five big toms came up, walked right in front of us. One went by, second went by, because I was hunting with my buddy and I wanted him to have a shot too. Mm-hmm. So I picked out the fourth one. I shot him and my buddy was like so surprised that I let all these turkeys go by. He misses his shot, but man, that was such a great, great experience. And it was my first turkey and that's probably still my most memorable. And like I said, you know, I was fortunate enough to do my grand slam and those were awesome as well. All the turkeys that I've shot on the Kansas Governor's one shot turkey hunt. I shot a double one year when you could, you know, add two. That was the first year I used TSS. These two toms were so close together, about 30 yards out, and they kept moving back and forth. And I was with one of my coworkers and I'm like, there's no way that we're both going to get a shot off. Whoever shoots, they're going to shoot them. And I just looked over at my coworker and pulled the trigger and shot them both. So I was able to tag them both. But yeah, first one was by far my special. And I'm looking at the fan and the beard sitting here in my office that I still have today. So,
okay. So number eight, last question. It's a little bit more of a lengthy question, but maybe not the answer. So you started to talk about this a few questions ago, but I'm curious, what's more exciting for you? What really gets your blood going? Roosting a turkey in the afternoon or evening, the evening before you're going to go in there and hunt, you got permission and maybe even got a pair of binoculars and you watch him fly up. Yeah, I mean, you know where that bird's at, right? So the anticipation, you're going to be able to sleep that night. What does that look like? Or B, hearing that bird gobbling on the limb in the morning, you know, it's dark out. You're starting to see some orange in the east. There's dew on the ground. A couple hens start yelping and he just starts firing off and you know where that bird's at. And you're, you know, in that circle, you're in his bubble. Which one of those gets you going more?
My favorite is first thing in the morning. It drives me nuts to roost the bird the night before because I can't sleep. I toss and turn, and it just drives me nuts. So I would rather not know where they are the night before because I will not sleep, and I might as well just go sit underneath the tree and just sleep all night. But my favorite by far is you start hearing the other birds and chickadees meadowlarks starting to chirp in the background, and you can hear maybe a cricket or a frog and the forest comes to life, and then you hear this little hen, you know, she starts squawking and just so lightly she's starting to wake up, and then that tom hears it and I mean just that fires me up.
Yeah, and then if there's another tom down the creek or whatever, that gets him going, and then it's and forth.
No, absolutely. And then you'll maybe hear a crow, and that gets him going. Yep. And maybe an owl. It's just hearing the forest wake up in the morning, and if there's turkeys, that's the icing on the cake. But just hearing the forest wake up in the morning is just so awesome.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, cool. You can't really put a price tag on that one. Well, Jared, thank you so much for joining us. I know we've mentioned a couple times how people can maybe connect with Kansas One Shot. Do you want to maybe touch base on that one more time? Or if people have questions, share any other ways to connect?
Yeah, so go to Kansas One Shot Turkey Hunt, all one word, .org, and learn more about our organization. If you'd like to donate, let us know. We'd love to have any donations to help us out. And to learn more or volunteer, please do. My social handle for outdoors and stuff is on Instagram. As you know, I graduated from KU, so my Instagram is jhawx. It's jhawx 2008. And you'll find some of my posts and some of my stuff out there. I'd love to connect to anyone out there in the outdoor space. So feel free to do so.
Absolutely. Well, we will certainly put those in the show notes, and we're just really happy to be talking with you about Kansas One-Shot Turkey Hunt and appreciate all you're doing for kids and the future of turkeys.
Yeah, thank you, Brittany. It's great to work with you and Mike and the Pass It Down Outdoor Mentor Organization. And Rob, thanks for all your great questions. It's great to get to know you today, and thanks for doing this. This is great. And I'm excited about all the things that Kansas is doing to creating a legacy for hunting for all of us, whether we're old timers like me or even the youth hunters out there. So I'm excited what Kansas is offering us. And it's one of the best kept secrets in all of the United States, in my opinion, especially from an outdoor perspective.
The best kept secret. Well, y'all take care, and please share our episode with your family and friends, and we hope to see you out there.
All right. See you guys.
Thank you. See ya.